Welcome to episode 607 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, and Anna. Have you ever followed your roots back to the old country? Donna and her daughter Alex went on an escorted tour with CIE Tours and tacked on a few days before and afterward to explore where their ancestors lived in Northern Ireland. She's here to share her experience with CIE and Ireland. So let's get started. Donna, are you Irish?
I am more Irish than anything else.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. I look Italian, and I am Italian, but I actually am more Irish.
I've got it like a quarter Irish. I did ancestry last year, but yeah. I knew I had some Irish in me. But all right, cool. So I love that you took your daughter on this trip, and remind us how old Alex is.
She's 15.
Okay.
So don't tell anybody, but she drank her first full Guinness.
Ooh.
She drank the whole thing.
Wow.
Nice.
Okay. She liked it, I guess.
We're not telling anybody.
I mean, yeah. Nobody listens secret. Anyway.
Listen.
All right. So let's start at the beginning. You arrived in Dublin.
Yeah. I've decided that, and this is even something that I recommend for my clients, is like that first day, you know, you're just shot because you flew over the pond and you have no energy because you didn't get a good night's sleep. So I usually suggest if you're going to do anything, just do a foodie tour. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because you have to eat anyway. At least this way you have a guide that kind of takes you around and takes you to, you know, some exciting places to eat and everything. And you get a little taste of everything. And at the end of the night, you are done. And then you go back to your hotel room and go to bed.
Okay.
So that's what we did. We did a foodie tour, and the guide that we had, it was a private tour. He was phenomenal. It was a local tour guide. He first took us to a restaurant that was the oldest retail shop in Dublin. It started in 1670. It was a metalworking shop, but now it sells tea and boutique chocolates.
Ooh, yeah.
So we started out there, and then we went, because it was Pride Week, there were Pride flags all over Dublin.
Nice.
We went to this little ice cream shop that was run by a queer couple. And they actually do all of their locally sourced dairy products, and they bring it in and make ice cream in it. And we had potato ice cream.
Really?
Potato ice cream, yes.
And what did we think of that?
Yeah, thoughts please.
It was good, but it was not something that I could eat a lot of. A couple of bites was good, but it would become too much if I ate too much of it.
I mean, was it like eating cold mashed potatoes? I mean, what was it?
No, it just had a kind of a sweet kind of mashed potato texture. But it was made with potatoes, so it was good. And then we went to a famous fish and chip shop and had authentic fish and chips.
Yes,
walk
you
around, you know, with it in your hands. True,
like
street
wrapped in
food.
Newspaper.
It was had a little box, but you know, okay. Yes. And then we needed a potty break, so we went to this little pub right around the corner from St. Patrick's Cathedral called the Fourth Corner, and it was truly a local place. It was not a touristy place, and had a beer, and then walked around some more. He took us through the Temple Bar District and headed around some of the big cathedrals and ended up across the river on the side that we were actually spending the night, and took us for a full Guinness pie dinner at a place called the Celt, and it was on a shopping street, and it was very authentic. You could definitely see all the locals there, but it was definitely also a place that, you know, tourists would go. Mm-hmm. And we had live music, and we sat in, it looked like a little tuk-tuk rumble seat. So it was pretty kind of neat. So
okay. That sounds like a good amount of food.
It was. It was definitely more than we could eat. And of course, I had to buy chocolates while I was at the chocolate shop. Well, so
yeah.
Well, yes, of course. Definitely.
Yes. And so the next day we went, we bought tickets for Trinity College and to go see the Book of Kells. I would suggest that we did not buy them ahead of time. Because I just thought you show up, and you know what, I should have done my homework, and now I know. Buy your tickets ahead of time if you want to go in the morning. We had to go like late morning. We've walked all the way over there, and they're like, "Oh, you can buy tickets for this afternoon." It's like, "Oh, okay." So we went to the Whiskey Museum and said, "Again, you had to buy tickets in advance." And so we just bought chocolates there too.
Okay. So, but you did get to go and do the Book of Kells later?
We did. We did. Now, what's interesting is right now, Trinity College is in the process of replacing all of their bookshelves. So all the books were gone.
Interesting.
It was empty.
Okay.
All the library was basically empty. They had taken down all the books and were replacing the shelves. Because after, you know, 500 years, they were the wood was rotting.
Wow. So it just happened to be the day you were there.
Oh, this is a very, very long process. So,
but do you still see the Book of Kells? That's the
We did. Okay. Honestly, I could skip that part. it was very neat walking through and listening to the audio tour about the Book of Kells, but then you actually saw it and it was open to one page and that was it. And it was in a dark room and you saw it and went, "Oh, that's kind of neat." And that was it. It's like going to see the Mona Lisa.
So if you go back, you can see a different page.
Exactly.
They change the pages? Oh, okay.
They do. They turn the pages. So
okay. To keep you coming back for more. Okay.
Exactly. So I think I'd skip it next time, but it was kind of interesting to learn about it. So, but I would suggest
if somebody only had one whole day in Dublin, would you say skip it?
Yeah, I would.
It depends. Like, if they're a history buff, that's
But there's so many other places you can go, and that's what we did the next day. So if you have one day, and this is what I would do for my itinerary if I had one day. So we went to the Guinness storehouse.
Wait, but you didn't talk about the Epic Museum.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the best part.
I want to hear about that. Okay.
Okay. So after we left the Trinity, it was pouring rain. So we took an Uber and went over to the Epic Museum. The Epic Museum is the Irish Emigration Museum. It's basically how Irish immigrants had actually moved away from Ireland and where they settled throughout the world. We actually didn't go to the museum. The whole reason we actually scheduled it is to have a 2-hour session with one of their ancestry counselors. And I had actually gotten to the point where I found my great-grandfather, but I couldn't find any information about him. I just had a name, and the only reason I had a name because it was written in my baby book. So I got there, and she found my grandfather, possibly his first wife, definitely his second wife, which is the one who is my great-grandmother, the land where they had leased, the birth certificate of my grandfather, the birth certificate of his brother. So I definitely, and I found the piece of land where they basically, my grandfather was born.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool.
And really it was still awesome. Occupied. Awesome. So I'll get to more about that later, but it was phenomenal what I found in just 2 hours. So highly recommend going to the Epic Museum and booking an appointment if you're looking for your roots, because they can definitely help. And they did it so fast. She probably had 20 tabs open on her computer, and she was going back and forth and going so fast. And then she basically copy and pasted everything into an email and sent it to me. So I've got all that evidence now.
You've got everything. That's amazing. Did you start it in it? Because I've done this with a client when I was there and took him to the Epic Museum. But we had set up an appointment in advance, and they can actually start preliminary working You can contact them months or whatever weeks in advance, and they can do some research before you even show up for the appointment.
No, well, no, we hadn't done that, but I brought my Ancestry account, and so I showed them what where my stopping point was, and that's where we went from, and she found everything, and I was amazed.
That's awesome.
So now we'll get to this would be my perfect day in Dublin. Okay. If you were going to do this. Started out at the Guinness Storehouse because Guinness is such a iconic thing for Dublin. It's a touristy thing. Yes, you should go. You should learn. And especially if you don't know how they make beer, they will teach you how you make beer. And then go up to the Gravity Bar and have a pint up there. That's part of your entrance fee. And then we walked past the several cathedrals, and you can, of course, stop in if you've got time. Went to the Temple Bar and actually sat down and had a beer inside the Temple Bar. That was one of my things. They have a global cam that is running 24/7. And so I called Jeff, my husband, and said, hey, turn on the global cam. Now, there was about a 30 second to a minute delay, but he was watching us actually wave at him.
That's cool.
I wonder why they have that delay.
That would be the internet. And then we had dinner that night and went to Murray's Pub, and it's got great food, live music, and some Irish dancers, and it's not too crowded. It's not super loud. And so that is a really great Ireland day doing typical Irish things. Then the day our tour actually started, we changed hotels, and we walked about 45 minutes to the National Museum of Ireland to see a lot of archaeology stuff. It was stuff from primitive Neanderthal type man, the bog bodies that you might have heard about, that perfectly preserved bodies inside the bogs. They had excavated them and they were in this museum. They had a lot of Viking hoard treasures that they had excavated from these mounds and all, and those actually are in this museum as well. So nice. It's actually a kind of a neat museum. We walked into St. Patrick's Cathedral, then decided to head back to the hotel for a little bit, and then we started the tour officially and went to the Mary Plowboys. It's a show place for tourists, about an hour outside of town, and again, live music and dancers and everything, and they serve traditional Irish fare.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep. So the next morning, we got up and had the big drive. So we left Dublin and got to Blarney Castle, I want to say, about lunchtime. And they gave us 3 hours to kind of explore Blarney Castle on our own, and we could do whatever we wanted. I really wanted to see the grounds. Alex wanted to go kiss the Blarney Stone, so she did that. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't go with her?
No, I wasn't going to climb all those stairs. I wanted to look at all the flowers.
So did she, did someone take a picture of her doing it?
They did, and it didn't turn out, so she had to do it again, but it had already started pouring rain. So she went up there, and she was up there maybe 10 minutes, and I grabbed the picture, and...
Wait, so they, like, sell you a picture?
Yeah, they sell you a picture.
You can't just have someone like take their own picture.
No. They want $10.
That's interesting.
Yep, they want. Okay. That's how they make money.
So, how many steps are we talking?
I don't know. I didn't do it. So, yeah. But she did, and she's young and agile, and she could do it.
I remember doing it, but I didn't kiss the stone.
Oh, really? Did you not want to flip ever backwards, or you just didn't want your lips touching all those lips?
Yeah, I don't want to touch my lips. I have a thing.
You're like, this is like a million lips.
Did you go, you went to the garden, Donna, did you go to the poison garden?
No, because we were running out of time. So I, but hours. I walked around kind of the far side, and so I got a lot of the kind of forest area, nice. and went through that and took lots of pictures and all. And I've got this really cool app that I heard about on television called the iNaturalist, and it's if you take a picture of a flower or something, it'll tell you what it is.
So
anyway, so the next day, that was again a long drive day, but we had lots of stops in between. Mm-hmm. We were staying in Kilkenny, and we did the Ring of Kerry. And so it's a giant scenic route along the peninsula of County Kerry. Mm-hmm. At the very far end, you've got Skellig. And Skellig is a little maritime town, mainly for fishing. And I don't think it was basically just a dot on a map until Star Wars happened.
Ah.
So if you've ever seen The Search for Skywalker or The Rise of Skywalker, and they go out to this island, mm-hmm. and they've got these little tiny porgs that are just the cutest little, they look like penguins with really big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Skellig Michael. And that island is right off of there, and you can take tours out there. We didn't actually take a tour because it was kind of a rough day and nobody wanted to go out on the sea. But what was interesting is what we found out is those little porgs were actually puffins. And the puffins really? Kept running across the screen. And so in order to, well, they couldn't get rid of the puffins because they're kind of protected. So what they did is they CGI'd them.
They made them something else. Oh my God. I didn't know that.
Funny. That is really interesting.
So it's really kind of neat. And then as we were going around, we ended up in Ballycastle. And from Ballycastle, as you're climbing up into the mountains, you could actually see Skellig Michael off in the distance. And basically that is the last island that you get to before you hit the full Atlantic Ocean. You go any further, you're going to hit Canada.
Wow.
So, but we also, I'm sorry, no, that was called Waterville. Sorry, Waterville. And then up into the mountains, we stopped for a sheepdog demonstration, and they had some new puppies.
Aww.
Some new baby lambs. And Alex just, she's been asking for a lamb ever since.
Oh my God.
She's like, can I have one? I'm like, no, you cannot.
Doesn't stay a lamb forever.
That's right. And they don't smell the nicest either. So, no, you cannot. Yeah. And then the following day, we actually took a ferry over the River Shannon. And the River Shannon is actually a pretty wide body of water. We were on that ferry for probably half an hour.
Nice.
To get across it. And then we stopped at the Cliffs of Moher, and I still haven't seen them. It was so foggy.
I saw your picture.
Yeah. It was so foggy and so just raining and dense and windy and all. So you know what that means.
You gotta go back.
I have to go back.
Yeah. So was it so windy that you were like nervous to walk out there, or was there just no reason to because you couldn't see anything anyway?
Well, we walked up to where the official viewing spot was, and mm-hmm. like I said, you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you.
Man.
So, I mean, there was no need to go any further because mm-hmm. you couldn't see anything. So
you just walk right off the edge, right?
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Well, they had railing, so you couldn't walk off the edge.
But...
Yeah. And then that night, we actually went to Bunratty Castle. And this is, again, kind of a touristy thing, but it was really, 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 really phenomenal as far as the singing. So it was dinner and a show, and it was a medieval show. So you ate everything with a knife. You would, because they didn't have forks back then. So you had a knife.
Stabby, stabby.
Stabby, stabby. That's right. But they were singing, and they just, their voices were bouncing off the walls, and they were in such harmony. It was phenomenal.
That's cool.
It was really, really well done. Dinner was great, but when you go to that thing, you go for the singing, because mm-hmm. it was amazing. And as we were making our way back to Dublin from Limerick, we stopped in Galway. Alex fell in love with Galway. She really liked the vibe and the energy there. It was, everybody there was kind of young and having a good time, but it was still quiet, kind of a small town. So there is a university there, and she's already looking at, you know, possibly what it would take to go to school in Galway.
There you go. That's cool.
Yep.
Nice.
Love it.
And then that kind of ended the tour when we got back to Dublin. We got up the next day and took the train to Belfast. And I have to say, so I asked somebody about this. Everybody on the train was like in their 20s. I mean, so we get up to Belfast and there were so many bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. Oh. So all the people that are in Dublin, because they live in a city that's kind of a party town, they don't party in their own town. They go to Belfast.
Okay.
That's the party town for all the people from Ireland.
So did it have a different vibe than Ireland? I mean,
oh, very much so. Very much so. So according to the BBC, they were having riots and we were warned that we may not even be able to get into the city.
Oh.
Were having anti-immigration riots.
I heard about that. Yeah, there was like a...
They were lighting cars on fire and everything.
Did you see that? Did you see a lot of that?
No. It was kind of a one-day, two-day thing, and it was done. But it was kind of hanging on the edge of the air. And you could definitely see, whereas Dublin is very nice, very pretty, very organized, you know. Belfast was rough around the edges. It was... There were buildings, there were pock marks, there were bullet holes, you know. All of that was in Belfast. And you found a lot of graffiti artwork throughout the city. It was a lot of... And what was interesting, I fully expected to see a lot of IRA-type stuff and everything like that. It was all Palestinian.
Yeah.
All the artwork was, hey, we're with you, we're behind you, you know.
Yeah.
So it was, they still have gates that they lock up every night.
Really?
Even to this day. And it's been 20 some years, 30 years since the peace accords.
Yeah, that was in the 90s, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. But they still have gates that they lock up at night, and they're still... On the peace wall, so yeah, they have what's called a peace wall, and on one side they still have all the Catholics, and one side they have all the Protestants, and it's still even like that to this day.
Did you do the black taxi tour?
I did not, because we only had 2 days, and so the that was just wandering around. We found a place for dinner. We had actually organized a bus tour that took us out on the coast, the northern coast, on the North Sea. Out to the Giant Causeway, Ballycastle, Carrickfergus, and the Dark Hedges. And we saw lots of places where Game of Thrones was filmed.
Yeah.
So that's what we did instead of doing a black taxi tour.
So I remember seeing this article years ago about a storm that hit. And I believe there were some of the Dark Hedges that were, like, some trees were taken down by the storm. And they created doors for different pubs throughout Northern Ireland that were carved like Game of Thrones. They were all like based on, did you see any of those?
I saw three of them.
Oh, nice.
I got to see three of them. So
the local shop, did you go toward the local shop there?
Well, we went to a restaurant. We went to the hotel that's there. And then we saw one more. Yes, but it's actually, the trees are just dying.
The big tour buses too have done quite a lot of damage to them.
Yeah, you can't drive down there anymore. It's just a walking path. But it's one of those things that the trees are just dying. and they expect in the next 50 to 100 years they're going to be all gone unless they replant them.
It's so sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was that out of all the days, that was the most gorgeous day we had. It was bright, it was sunny, it was in the 80s. We actually were like stripping off clothes because we were hot. That was the only day.
Did you have to walk out of the Giant's Causeway? Because the last time I was there, they said they were talking about putting up railings and not letting people out onto.
Oh, no, no. You walk out on there. But they do have a shuttle. So if you can't walk down and you can't walk back, it costs a pound, but you can ride the shuttle back.
That's cool.
Everybody is climbing all over them.
Is that something where you would have good views too, like the Giant's Causeway?
It's a natural formation that's really, really odd. It's hexagonal basalt stones that have just worn that way, and I don't know that they can explain how it happened. It's just it happened, and it's really kind of neat. Got some great pictures.
Nice.
And then my final day, we hired a private driver. And so I couldn't tell them where we wanted to go because I had to go to the Epic Museum and find out where we wanted to go because I wanted to see the city where my family came from. And it's called Tomla O'Creeley. And it's this little tiny podunk town, doesn't even have a stop sign, and it's in the middle of nowhere. There's no cell service, nothing out there. And we go up, and I found the property, and it turned out that the name that had taken over the lease from my great-grandfather, last name was Agnew. There's an Agnew on the mailbox. So they still had the property.
Cool.
And so we pull up, and I'm taking pictures and everything, and the damn driver goes and knocks on the door. I'm like, what are you doing? Explained what we were doing and everything. She invited us in her living room.
Aww.
And we sat down and I told her what we were doing and how that my grandfather had been born in this house, or they had like a barn. I said either in the barn, had been born in this house, and depending on which one had been around in, you know, the late 1800s, she's like, well, this house has been here for 100 years. I'm like, well, this very well could be the house that my grandfather was born in.
Yeah.
So she couldn't answer a lot of my questions because I asked her, I said, okay, so where's the oldest cemetery? She's like, I have no idea. I'm like, okay. She's like, I wish my son was here. So we left her house. We took pictures and took picture with her and everything. And so we pulled down and there was a lady out weeding her garden. And so we stopped and we asked, like, do you happen to know where the old cemetery is? They said, well, there's the cemetery across the street. I said, yeah, but that one's everything's from like the 40s and 50s forward. Where's the old cemetery? Oh, that one's over here. And so he invited her to get in the car and she showed us how to get to the cemetery.
This is like a quirky movie, right?
It is. And so then we said, and she's like, what name are you looking for? Valentine. And she's like, oh, there's a Valentine that lives in this house right here. And I'm like, what? And she says, yeah, there's a Valentine. She's 96.
Wow.
So we went over to the cemetery. We kind of wandered around there. And then we pulled into this person. And then again, the driver knocked on the door. And the daughter answered and invited us into the living room. The poor woman was suffering from dementia. She was 96. Aww. But the daughter showed us some pictures of her father and her great-grandfather and her great-grandmother and everything. I took pictures and told her the whole story and everything. And I might have a relative in Ireland.
Could be your cousin.
It could be a cousin.
Wow. That's so cool.
So it was just the funniest thing. And so that took all morning. And then we actually worked our way back to Belfast. And he showed us the Parliament building and the Titanic Hotel. And we actually stopped and went in the hotel. We went into the gift shop at the Titanic Museum. And he drove us past Queen's College to kind of show us Queen's College. really amazing Gothic looking. It looks like Duke, but you know, in red brick. So
I'm sure it's much older than Duke.
Probably. Much older than Duke, yes. But it had that same kind of Gothic feel. But yeah. It was a phenomenal visit, and I may have, you know, I may have a pen pal now. So
that's cool. It's funny that you got invited into living rooms, because if somebody knocked on my door, I'm not inviting them into my living room. It's like,
it's such a quintessential Irish thing, though. That is like,
Northern Ireland, so I was so not expecting that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, here we've got the door really bolted, and we're peeking out the little peephole and figuring out who it is.
Strange person. We're like, pictures.
No soliciting.
Oh, they have a clipboard. Don't open the door.
Like, my dogs will attack you. I can't open this door.
Right.
Awesome. All right, well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.